Thank you for joining us in a place where we all can connect with the wisdom of the heart and allow the outdated habits of thought and action to evolve. Welcome to Peace Overtures Radio with co-hosts David Barnes and Sue Ann McGregor.
I believe if I look hard enough, I will see that there can be enough, and I believe I can think clear enough to conceive a place where there's enough. If not now, when? If not today, then what about tomorrow? What happens tomorrow?
I believe that we are waking up from the spell that those that profit from the fear cast so well, and good people of the earth now can tell there is no us in them. If not now,
hello, I'm David Barnes.
And I'm Sue Ann McGregor. Welcome to Peace Overtures Radio. This week, we continue our season-long theme on the five dimensions of well-being. We have another alignment film for you around the environment dimension. This topic is so important, especially lately, which is why we're continuing our focus on alignment movies around this environment dimension. This week, we have a terrific episode for you called Returning Balance to Life. Our featured alignment film is the blockbuster film from James Cameron called Avatar. Avatar was released in 2009 to rave reviews. During its theatre run, the film broke several box office records and became the highest grossing film of all time.
And you know who it surpassed was Mr. Cameron's other film, Titanic.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, at the time, that was the all-time grossing one.
He's so, on a roll.
Oh, I guess so.
Avatar is set in the mid-22nd century when humans are colonizing Pandora, a lush, habitable moon of a gas giant in the Alpha Centauri star system, to mine the mineral unobtainium. That makes me laugh that they made that the name of the mineral. It wasn't obtainable.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah, I do.
The expansion of the mining colony threatens the continued existence of a local tribe of Na'vi, a humanoid species indigenous to Pandora. The film's title refers to a genetically engineered Na'vi body with the mind of a remotely located human that is used to interact with the natives of Pandora.
In our book, It's Just Commerce, Returning Balance to Business, we included Avatar is one of our featured alignment films. It's such a terrific film to show the imbalance of masculine-feminine macro patterns occurring on our planet today and how they manifest into untenable problems when imbalance persists. Now, just to remind you, in last week's show, we discussed how when each of us changes within the microcosm, it affects all of humanity, or the macrocosm. Of course, this relationship goes the other way too. You know, the macrocosm clearly impacts the microcosm too. Well, Avatar shows us some key masculine-feminine macro patterns that have created this imbalance that's occurring on our planet now. And that is the focus of our alignment session. So let's get started. As you watch Avatar, we want you to watch for these key masculine and feminine macro patterns that are occurring in the film. Of course, they're an example for what we're experiencing today on this planet. And for purpose of the discussion of this broadcast today, when we're talking about masculine and feminine patterns, we're talking about archetypes.
So what we mean by that is you don't want to just think of men and women in general. We're talking about the archetype of the feminine, the understanding of what the feminine brings and the understanding of what the masculine brings. So it's don't think in terms of men and women. It's a different concept.
That's a great clarification. Thank you. So first, let's discuss duality of the mind, left brain versus right brain. There are two hemispheres in our brains, the left hemisphere and the right. Each has an important and unique strengths. The left brain is predominantly the source for the verbal, logic, technical, analytics, and sequential processing of information. The right brain is visual, spatial, motions, pattern recognition, and holistic thinking. We want you to think of your left brain as the masculine side of your thinking and your right brain as the feminine. Usually, we all have a dominant preference in how we perceive the world, how we solve problems, and how we implement strategies. Some of us are by nature more analytical, and we want only the facts, while others are intuitive and take their time making decisions. Now, neither one is more important than the other, but both are needed working in balanced partnership. Since the industrial age, left brain or masculine type of thinking has become the dominant way for most of us in the Western world. This way of thinking inspired great leaps in technology, which continues to replicate and double in efficiency every 2 years. While technology made great leaps and bounds, our society moved away from our agrarian way of living, which was more feminine or right brain. People came to the cities to take jobs that required us to work in analytical and technical ways. While this is a generalization, it makes the point that we've come to respect the rational approach over the intuitive feminine approach. As a result, we've all but lost the balance we once had prior to the industrial age.
The mind was created for balance of both sides, the masculine rational thinking of the left and the intuitive artistic creating aspects of the feminine right. The balance of intuition collaborating with facts is actually the ideal. Our brain's inherent duality has been playing out over the generations, and for the most part, the left brain masculine is dominating our current experience, which results in the structures that have been created that are evident in everything from business, politics, education, religion, you name it. You can see it playing out. Remember, energetic patterns continue to replicate like fractals until noticed and then changed. These masculine dominant patterns have been occurring so long that we don't have much history or memories of anything else to compare to. In Avatar, we see examples of these macro patterns with the humans and their incredible technological advancement when compared to the Na'vi people of Pandora. We also see this human technological advancement is not self-sustaining, which caused humans to seek new sources of energy from planets like Pandora, which, by the way, is self-sustaining for the Na'vi people. One other point to make is about the way the leaders are organized on the human side. Notice the top decision makers are solely men, and only a few men at that.
And that really sticks out in the film.
It does. You get to see it. It's, I would almost say that it feels like the old boys network.
Right, right.
There's actually no democratic balanced political structure making decisions. It's a corporation called the Research Development Association, or RDA, who answers solely to its quarterly earnings report. Also notice who holds the most power and has the last say. It's Colonel Miles Quaritch, the former Marine, now head of the RDA's private security force. On the Na'vi side, we see balanced feminine-masculine leadership throughout its culture. Notice how decisions are made throughout the film. It's actually through partnership.
Again, we're going to touch on that as we move throughout this show today. Let's look at another key aspect of the imbalanced masculine-feminine pattern shown in Avatar. The heart versus mind, these are some new ideas we want you to consider. Each of us has masculine and feminine energies. While you've most likely heard this before, here's another way that may make it easier to understand. You may have heard us in past shows talk about the power of the heart and how it puts out 5,000 times more electromagnetic energy than the mind. And science is now seeing that the mind actually serves the heart and not the other way around as we thought. So with that said, we want you to see your heart and your emotions as your feminine aspect. and your mind and your thinking as the masculine. For most of us, we lead with our mind first and our thinking, and then maybe we get to our heart or feeling next. Or many times, and you can see this in the movie too, they get to the feeling after the mind made the decisions and they get to see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see then they get to the feeling, but it's already too late because the mess is at hand.
Although not for everybody, because you get to see it with the one lady that's mm-hmm. in part of the military
right.
force. She starts to feel it and then goes, not going down this road.
yeah, that's a really good point. So if you can begin to start seeing this balance that we're talking about within, then we want you to try this next point and see your heart as your source for strategy and your brain as implementation. When we try to create with our minds, we invariably create the good and the bad, or polarity that's much about being alive. For example, you've come up with a new invention or a new company and your mind likes it, but immediately comes up with obstacles, downsides, risks, doubts about money, etc. So the positive side of the mind creation is the idea, but the negative polarity of the aspect of this idea is all the objections. Can you see what we mean by the polarity or duality? When you create from the heart, the mind's on the back burner. The energy is allowed to build, and the idea and strategies blossom on their own without any what-ifs or obstacles. The heart just doesn't work that way. That's the mind's job. So when you lead from the heart, you tangibly create in ways that take off the shackles and allow you to create without the obstacles. And the interesting thing is, this is how nature creates. Another way we say this, and you've heard this probably in our past shows if you listen to our heart-aligned leadership, especially for those of you in business, see your heart as your internal CEO and your mind as the president. And sometimes that helps people understand what we're getting at. The CEO is laying out the strategy and the vision, and the president or the mind is implementing the tactics that are necessary to get them down this road.
So this takes us to our next key point in this alignment session. Balance leads to peace. When we think of resolutions or agreements that are created to stop war, they are typically conducted by men after the war has become too expensive on both sides, either in lives lost or for a destruction of property and the finances involved. These mental solutions have a tendency to create the polarity we're trying to avoid. We believe peace is to be experienced beyond the polarity, beyond the mind. Rarely do we see women at the table as part of the negotiations, which means they're not typically fostering long-term partnership. As a result, it's common to see the old wounds perpetuate and the patterns continue.
So nothing was resolved and the generational fights or whatever is going on
still
continues.
Yeah, we just do it one more round.
We just call it peace because it stopped. Is that what you're saying?
Because the fighting, in an obvious sense, has stopped.
I see.
Doesn't mean it's not happening under the covers.
Right.
When women are a part of the process, working in partnership with men, there is an emotional aspect to peace that's possible. Feminine strength provides a different perspective that recognizes nuances that usually provide new solutions. What's needed in these times is for women to lead from the strength of the feminine and not like a man. And it's, as a woman, you really have to make a conscious choice to choose to do this differently. I actually got to make this choice in my 20s when in the company I worked for wanted me to go up the management tree. But I actually consciously chose not to, because at that time there was no space to lead in a feminine way. There was only allowed that you took on the masculine approach. And so it was a conscious decision on my part to not go there.
And, you know, for those of you that have had to make that decision, that was the best way to actually integrate at the time.
Yes.
So it's not even like it's a judgment that's being made. This was the beginning of the new patterns that are coming together now.
And for me, I just made a choice. I couldn't do that. So what's needed in these times is for women to lead from the strength of the feminine and not like a man. Then the seeds of peace have an opportunity to germinate and grow. Without this balance, the seeds don't receive the nourishment needed to flourish, and we miss ideas that solve problems. For example, in 2011, Texas and the city of Dallas were facing significant drought challenges. The state legislature and local governments hadn't come up with a coordinated strategy to limit the increase in new homes, pools, etc. Dallas City Council member Sandy Grayson wonders why building permits haven't been limited. She says the whole idea of grow, 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 and let's bring in more people when perhaps we don't have enough water to service all that growth is something we don't ever talk about. She offers a counterpoint to the conventional wisdom that more growth is always the answer. Her idea is practical and what's needed.
It really is, because it goes against the conventional norm, and maybe it can get people, the men at the table, to stop and say, okay, she's got a really good point here.
Exactly.
So, as men, we don't always see the need for the feminine perspective because it seems illogical and, you know, while we may not admit it on the surface, too soft.
Just notice in the movie Avatar what they do when the new troops are coming off the plane. They call them all women.
Yeah, they do. Ladies.
And ladies,
ladies. And also, notice how the men in the movie react to Grace when she starts to describe the connections that the trees have and how powerful they are. And at one point, the CEO or whoever, the head of the corporate, I mean, he just scoffs at her and makes fun of her. And they roll their eyes like, you know, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Exactly.
As men, sometimes we don't always recognize the mental solutions are only one part of the process. The heart healing is always needed before peace can naturally be experienced. While men have this potential to lead with the heart-mind balance, and there's many examples that we could use, we just don't have time for it in this show. We need the feminine to begin balancing out these old patterns, very similar to that simple example at the Dallas City Council. Mm-hmm. Notice in Avatar how both sides, the humans and the Na'vi, show these patterns. So we'll go through a list of things. On the human side, we see solely men making the decisions, no feminine perspective. When Grace, played by Sigourney Weaver, steps in to stop them, they brush her aside and suggest her position is weak, as we've already said. She isn't an equal at the decision-making table, and as a result, they make big mistakes because her viewpoint and perspective is discounted as just a scientist. Mm. I think it's interesting how she was instrumental in creating the Avatar with nature through the mingling of human and Na'vi DNA, while the military created a machine Avatar. You might be wondering, what are we talking about, the machine Avatar? It's that big, big robot that the guys jump into. And of course, you know, it's more about war and weapons. But it was Grace's collaboration with nature that made the miracle of an actual Na'vi beings that integrated with the Omatakaya people. Back to our list of characteristics here. On the human side, might always wins regardless of the situation. When an obstacle presents itself, force is typically the reaction, which includes taking them out and killing if necessary. When force and war begin, without the balanced leadership, the momentum escalates and it becomes uncontainable, and the outcomes completely unpredictable. Notice the humans' complete reliance on technology. Everything that they're, from where they're living to how they're flying, everything is relying on technology that needs energy. Also, all warrior, no heart leadership or consideration is apparent. Now, let's look at the Na'vi tribe. They have masculine warriors too. Notice in this first scene when they meet Jake Sully, they immediately want to kill him when he arrives into the camp. There's no hesitation. Notice how Moat, the matriarch of the tribe, leads. She is the respected spiritual leader of the Omatakaya and is a direct line to Eowa, the divine mother of the planet. When the warriors want to kill Jake, she jumps right in the middle of it. I mean, literally comes jumping in and says no. Subsequently, assigns his training to her daughter, Natiri. She has a sense he's an important player. While not exactly sure why, she trusts her instincts. It's really a terrific example of the balance we're discussing and included in this alignment session. And because she has this sense that he needs to be saved, her husband, the tribe leader, says he's to be saved.
Exactly.
So we get to see a really great example right there of that balanced leadership. Mm-hmm. He knows to follow her, even though he's the so-called leader. So the males in the tribe trust her, grumbling along the way. They still value her decision and respect it. So, you know, I touched on this partnership of the Omotakaya, which is similar to what archaeologists discovered when they were studying the ancient Harappan people in the Indus Valley 7,000 years ago. So we have this experience as humans. It's just gone away. So notice how the tribe throughout the film leverages this partnership as they face destruction of their civilization. Finally, the feminine Omotakaya are just as fierce as the male counterparts. And this is the part I think is pretty funny. You and I talk about this a bunch. Somehow we see them as the weaker sex, but these women are fierce.
Exactly.
And they're fierce on both sides. Grace is fierce, but they have women warriors in the Omotakaya, and I think it's something we forget in our masculine dominated culture.
Well, once again, remember the female that was part of that flew the machine as part of the warriors. She was instrumental in changing things.
She did, yeah. You're right.
Exactly. And because they hadn't bothered to consider her, it was like, okie dokes.
Yeah, they didn't realize that she might think for herself.
And her words were, I didn't sign up for this.
That's right.
There hit the fierceness. It was like, uh-uh.
That's right. Women are just as strong and fierce as men and can get out of balance, too. That's why partnership keeps things in balance.
Which takes us to our next key point in this alignment session. Partnership, a pathway to peace. The word peace is used in many different connotations. To some, it's the lack of war or civil disobedience. At other times, peace is a state of mind, free of anxiety and stress. We see peace as a byproduct of balance and harmony that comes when the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine, achieve equanimity. When balance is experienced, peace is the outcome. Peace first starts with each of us as individuals, recognizing the need to balance the feminine and masculine within, the harmony between the mind and the heart. It's then we're able to see the ingredients necessary for outcomes in our external world. Commonly, we create agreements to stop fighting or contracts to ensure we don't fight and anticipate this will bring peace. These situations are resolutions that can become steps to peace. Lasting peace usually entails feminine and masculine balance, and when this is achieved, there's less duality and many more win-win outcomes. Remember, when we create from the mind, duality or polarity is always present. Heart-centered solutions result in no duality. The balance gives us a strategy, which is inspired from the heart, and we allow the mind to implement the tactics that support the strategy. When any structure is created with this type of awareness of the need for balance within the individual and the leadership structure, we discover new solutions to the problems we're facing as a planet.
Which is really critical that you then go in knowing that structurally you have to have the balance at the table.
Exactly.
Because we don't know what is going to be discovered and what new ideas and new possibilities until we have that structure in place. And this takes us to our next key lesson in this alignment film. Community sustains peace. When we're able to understand the need for balance within, we're more capable of collaborating with others in community. While peace starts in each of us first, community sustains it and ensures peace perpetuates. Individuals creating rules for how to live typically are unable to discover partnerships and collaborations that nurture and sustain balance. We need the power of diverse groups, feminine and masculine, with diverse opinions and beliefs to continue discovering our evolutionary potential. It's diversity in communities that pave the way for lasting harmony to be enjoyed for countless generations. Diversity gives rise to a self-sustaining model that benefits everyone. So this us against them, it has no place in community and requires this masculine-feminine balance to ensure we don't fall back into this old pattern. The inherent transparency of community prevents the behind-the-scenes us versus them tactics. And this takes us to our next key point in this alignment film. It's time for feminine-masculine balance. Throughout this alignment session, our intent is to give you some ways to think about the masculine and feminine aspects that are in all of us. It's through this balance that new solutions can be discovered that can create pathways to peace of mind and peace in our communities.
There are many benefits if we can find a way to bring the feminine and masculine into balance. To achieve this balance, we have to start with ourselves by reconnecting or awakening the feminine within and allow it to lead. Watching Avatar will help you align with this desired balance. For women, this means lean on your feminine side. For men, still lead with the masculine, but open up to the power of your feminine side, in other words, your heart, to begin experiencing some balance. You'll find that once the feminine is enhanced in all of us, we'll see life improvements that will be beneficial for both women and men. Since recognizing the masculine is easy for most of us, it's time for us to notice what happens when the feminine nature takes the lead.
Yes.
And this takes us to our final key point of this alignment session. What unites us is far greater than what divides us. We're facing many significant obstacles to our current way of living on this planet, from the environment to business and political structures, water and food challenges, population, migration, etc. So we discuss many of these challenges in our book, It's Just Commerce, Returning Balance to Business. Too many times we've allowed our disagreement and our us versus them patterns to block unity and collaboration. It's what Sigmund Freud calls the narcissism of small differences. Unfortunately, it seems that we humans miss the feather-like guidance that's calling for a change and don't respond until a 2x4 smacks us upside the head. Usually these major events, they could be a storm, disasters, droughts, political instability, bring us together in unity. Until we come together, the problems expand and persist. Notice at the end of the film, it's the loss of the Omotakaya home that brings the Na'vi tribes together in unity to stand up to the humans. It's unity that helps the tribes adjust to the considerable changes presented to them. We firmly believe that once humanity discovers a way to create balanced masculine-feminine leadership and stands together in unshakable unity, there's no problem we can't solve.
That last point is key, unshakable unity.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to align with this dream for humanity, then watching the Avatar Alignment movie session will help you begin to make this shift within that returns balance back to life. Think of it as changing your internal software within to help the whole make the needed change. Remember, when each of us changes, we affect the human grid software, which opens up all kinds of possibilities to all of us. So this takes us to the part of our show where we summarize the key energetic benefits from this alignment process session. Now, everything that we talked about in this show has been included in this session. And so usually we just like to take 10 key benefits to summarize them so you get a feel for what this alignment session is all about. First, a willingness to open your heart to new ways of using technology that doesn't deplete or adversely affect nature and our planet Earth. A realization that you have a strong heart and can choose not to fill it with fear. Next, a desire to see women and men partnering and discovering balanced outcomes that benefit all of us. A desire to reconnect with nature. A letting go of the us versus them pattern. A realization that nature is helping us return to balance. An ability to begin seeing your heart as the feminine within and your mind as your masculine side. A releasing of the macro pattern that war is good for the economy. A recognition of when others are intentionally trying to manipulate you with fear. And finally, a realization that diverse groups led with feminine and masculine partnership, fostering diverse perspectives, will help us discover our evolutionary potential. So now, how do you benefit from this alignment session? Well, just a reminder, if you're new to the show, Suanne and I did these belief statements on ourselves, and we created this like internal software and made it available for anybody that wants to use it. So how do you do it? Well, if you haven't done our intention session, then you just need to do this once and think of it as downloading an app on your smartphone. You can find the intention session right here on our program page, or it's on our websites, peaceofmindovertures.com, itsjustcommerce.com, and tamingyourdragons.com. And you'll see there's a tab that says intention session and all these places that I'm telling you about. So once you've completed this, you're then ready to go off and watch any of the alignment movies or TV shows that we talk about. Now, you most likely have seen Avatar before, but you need to do this intention session first if you want to get the energetic benefits, and you have to go back and watch Avatar in its entirety again. Now, we found the DVD available at our library. I think it's also showing on cable networks right now on demand. So just, there's all kinds of places you can find this movie. It's so popular. Now, if you enjoyed the show and you'd like more movies to assist with your changing of your internal software, consider buying our book, It's Just Commerce, Returning Balance to Business. When you use the code FMGRADIO in all caps, you'll save 25% off It's Just Commerce and our other book, Taming Your Dragons. Both books are available at our bookstore, pomomarket.com. That's FMGRADIO coupon code in all caps when you're checking out, and you'll receive a one-time 25% off. When you buy two or more books of any combination, the shipping's on us. Now let's take a short break, and when we return, Suanne will take us through this week's alignment process session. Don't go away.
Are you ready to unleash the power of your emotions and make a shift towards peace? Discover the secret language of your emotions and understand the powerful, life-changing messages they have for you. Taming Your Dragons, Making Peace with Your Emotions, is a new and innovative book to working with your emotions. According to authors Sue Ann McGregor and David Barnes, all emotions are valuable and are a sophisticated guidance system designed to create a joyful life. Can you imagine what your life would be like if you were at peace with your emotions? Your most perfect guidance system is waiting to show you how to reduce stress in your life and lead you to a path of joy. The life you've always dreamed of is waiting for you, and Taming Your Dragons can help you come into alignment with it. This book guides you through 70 alignment movie sessions. Each movie tangibly changes your particular emotional patterns through the alignment process, bringing your mind into alignment with the power of your heart. Are you ready to become a master of your emotions and experience? Get your copy today at tamingyourdragons.com in digital and paperback. Tamingyourdragons.com. Get yours today.
Welcome back. Suanne, what have you prepared for us this week?
Well, I've titled this week's session, What Do You Stand For? I found in my life it's important to take some time out periodically for reflection and become clear on what I stand for. And there's a big difference between being against something and standing for something. We've often heard the term a war on X, the common one being a war on drugs. Unfortunately, these war-on approaches rarely produce a successful outcome. The reason is that as soon as you pit yourself against something, you make it about force, and an equal and opposite reaction is being generated. Well, it's time now to say, I stand for X, and whatever that is for you. One of the people that has inspired me most and given me a touchstone when thinking about life on earth and what I stand for is the Dalai Lama. He's a balanced leader who stands for peace. And I've really been blessed to travel through northern India and Nepal on a Tibetan Buddhist pilgrimage. I witnessed how the Tibetan monks interacted and worked together and how they related to their communities. It was a great lesson in how you could create unity in your community. So here are some words of wisdom from His Holiness the Dalai Lama that speak to me. These are from a set of cards by the same name, published by New Holland Publishers, Australia Limited. So here are the words of wisdom. Love is critical. And remember, when anyone gives love to another, happiness emerges from their mind, and they then are the biggest beneficiaries. I feel different religions have a great responsibility to provide peace of mind and a sense of brotherhood and sisterhood among humanity. I think when tragic things happen, it is on the surface. It's like the ocean. On the surface, a wave comes, and sometimes the wave is very serious and strong, but it comes and goes, and underneath, the ocean always remains calm. If you harbor ill will, it has negative impact on yourself. You may lose your appetite and good sleep. And the final one is never lose faith in the truth.
Now, those are actual quotes from the Dalai
They're
Lama?
They're actual quotes from the Dalai Lama.
Oh, that sounds like a really cool
deck. Yeah, these cards, I love these cards, because whenever I need them, I can pull one, and I feel like I've got the Dalai Lama speaking directly to me.
That's nice.
So now what we're going to do is we're going to align with some intentions that can have us find it much easier to stand for something in our lives, rather than us having to go into that fear and fight against things. So what do I mean by align with something? What I mean is we're going to get ourselves on the same frequency as these intentions. And so once we're on the frequency of them, we can embody them. And they can naturally be our expression in our daily lives. It's not unlike when you want to listen to a particular station. You have to physically move the dial to that station. Otherwise, you won't hear it. So let's say the intentions first. And then what we're going to do is a modality that's going to allow us to align with the intentions. The same thing. The modality is equal to turning the dial. So let's say these intentions together. I take time for reflection. I am clear on what I stand for. I let go of fighting against things. The inner me remains calm and allows the storms to pass around me. I have faith in the truth. I let go of all ill will. I know love is critical. So now we're going to do the modality. And the one we're going to do is, it's actually an acupressure point. And it's between the thumb and the first finger, in that web between the thumb and the index finger. So I want you just to massage this point. It's actually in acupuncture terms or meridian terms, it's the point four on the large intestines. So what it allows us to do is let go of the congestion in the head. It's especially useful, you know, if you've got sinus problems or headaches or things like that. But think about it, what we're talking about, congestion in the head. When you're fighting against something, you got congestion in the head.
So do we just use, our thumb or...
Yes, just use the thumb. Use the thumb and the index finger on the middle finger of the other hand and really massage in. Or another way is to just hold the point.
Okay, and from both above and below?
Above and below. And you just hold the point for about 20 to 30 seconds.
I see.
And you'll actually almost feel it release. It's like a relaxing. So just hold that for about 20 to 30 seconds. And then I would also suggest you do it on both hands. You'll switch to the other side.
And balance again. Huh? Yeah,
that's that balance again. Yep.
You're going to hear us talking about balance here.
So well done. And I hope you take time in this next week for a little reflection so that you're clear on what you stand for.
Thank you, Sue Ann. This wraps up another show. Next time, we'll continue with one final film around the environment dimension of well-being. We hope you're enjoying this series as much as we are. If you have any comments or questions, please connect with us. There's all kinds of places to do that right here on our program page or any of our websites. May you find inner balance this week and discover win-win outcomes and peace of mind. Thank you for joining us. You want to see
send them, if not now.
Thank you for collaborating with us today and creating more peace in the world. Please join us next week as we align with new beliefs and emotional patterns through movies. Be sure to visit fmgradio.com/peaceovertures for replays and ways to connect with us. Wishing you a week filled with joy and increasing peace of mind.